Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show, live from Podville Media in Washington, D.C. and around the world. You're listening to our wonderful program from not only Washington, D.C., but also Los Angeles, California, and all the way down here at the tip of the teat, Southwest Florida.
Is that on the city crest or the flag or anything?
Tip of the teat.
That's
Southwest
nice.
Southwest Florida. Great cities like Dallas, Townsboro, Pennsylvania, Ulysses, New York, St. George's, Bermuda, Sugar Tit, South Carolina, Columbus, Mississippi, and Quetzaltenango, Guatemala. The
Beautiful.
Mike O'Mara Show is on right now, and we have Oscar on another crisp morning out in Los Angeles, where the last couple of shows he's been banished from his sister's home, and he's doing the show out of doors, now I know that you said you were going to enjoy your day in Los Angeles, and after you had finished your LA Times work, you were going to come out and enjoy LA. Did you have an LA day?
I did. It was beautiful. What's wonderful about Los Angeles on a Monday near beach town is that it still looks like they're on vacation. By that I mean the population that lives here, and I'm not used to that at all.
You know what I like about Oscar in LA is that when he's on the Upper Lanai out there, he still doesn't want to disturb his family. So we get a slightly quieter Oscar.
Yeah.
Jimmy's on television.
It's 7 a.m.
I know.
It's 7 a.m. here.
You know what I like
you
about
can't
Los
yell
Angeles?
At the neighbors, you know? Hello, everybody. By the way, I had a long conversation with my daughter, Catherine, who is a resident of Los Angeles, and she was telling me how much she hates it.
Really?
Why does she hate it?
She just doesn't like LA. They don't like the vibe out there. She's an East Coaster. She's an East Coast lady. And she, but she's doing really well out there. But she, she's frustrated. She was talking about, my daughter is in sales now and essentially is supervising people that go door to door.
Sure.
And she has also gone door to door. I think she sells telephone internet packages.
I thought it was vacuums.
No, she's not selling vacuums 1945.
You jerk.
Not brushes?
No, but she was talking about...
She's selling corporate broadband for corporations.
I see.
That's what she's doing, and she is doing really well to the point where they'll be sending her on an on-site, where they go out and basically have a vacation with all the managers, and she's sort of being groomed for management. I'm very proud of her that she's doing that. But she was talking to me about LA, and she was talking about the door-to-door aspect of the job. And she said, Dad, do you know where South Central LA is?
Oh, boy.
I said, yeah, I know where South Central is. Do you know where Watts is? I said, Catherine, you're talking about, certain aspects of these neighborhoods can be a little rough where you're talking about it. And she said, yeah. And apparently,
Dad, do you know where East Berlin is?
She's telling me
it's not what it was 10 years ago or 20 years ago.
And she said the exact same thing. However, in all these neighborhoods, there are pockets that you have to, especially when you're sending people out door to door, you have to be aware of the ethnic component.
Sure.
You have to be aware of sending
Bloodland, Cripland.
Yeah, and you have to be aware of sending certain people into certain neighborhoods, and not necessarily what you would think about black, white, but Hispanic, black, and things like that, because of the turf wars that
East
they have
LA.
Out there. So yeah, and so she was talking to me about that, and she was very aware of it. And she's I never got a chance to ask because I probably didn't ask her at the end of our conversation because I didn't want to know what her worst door to door experience was, but she seems like she, I love it when your kids say to you, I'm working my ass off.
Yeah.
That just makes me glow inside. You know, I enjoy
someday.
That.
Someday.
Yeah.
Someday.
I told Matt.
Someday what? You'll work your ass off?
No, someday my son will tell me that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I thought you misspoke.
Charming.
I told Pony this the other day. This might have been a week ago. I looked at him and I said, hey, man, a good day in, like, as when you're an adult is when three things have gone wrong and not 30. So, like, when things are going wrong, like, that's just part of life. It's part of growing up. And he goes, and he was thoughtful about it. He said, yeah, I could see that. I said, yeah. I said, sometimes I walk in here and, like, I go home and I'm like, three things went wrong. Big win of a day. Sometimes 30 things go wrong. Not a great day, but you just got to keep moving. And as in your point, Mike, like your daughter was in, she still probably is trying and aspiring to become an actress, which is one of the hardest things in the world to try.
Absolutely.
I think that dream has been a tad watered down a little bit. You know, I think she's not as.
Yeah, but it's prepared her for sales.
Oh, yes.
Realizing
you know what? This is, every time she knocks on a door is like a new acting challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sales is great for that. I mean, it really, truly is. I've done a lot of sales, one-on-one sales, and it was always fun to sort of gauge the situation and maximize it by, you know, what you do on your end.
Where have you done one-on-one sales?
Like Christmas trees, vegetables. I mean, I don't count Safeway.
Working at your grandfather's fruit stand doesn't count as a sales job.
It doesn't? What am I doing?
No.
What if I upsell? What if I upsell people on stuff? And what about Christmas trees?
People that come to a fruit stand want their corn on the cob anyway. It's not like you're going to have to, you know, do a a Glengarry Glenn Ross number on them.
Pressure sales.
I actually would say you are incorrect when it comes to Christmas trees because you have to talk people in.
I saw a Christmas story.
Oh well, then you know what? I withdraw the remark because obviously you've been there.
I've been to Christmas tree shops. It's not exactly like you're trying to sell somebody a Toyota.
No, but you got to move it. You got to move the product and you got to talk them into it.
Give me your best sales pitch when you were selling a Christmas tree.
I say, you know what?
Pretty good.
The Scotch pine is nice. It is. But if you want to go with something that has a little more personality, something with a better needle retention, let me show you something that there's no other stand.
Did you make up needle retention?
Mike, it's a known fact. If it retains its needles, it has excellent needle retention.
All right.
I would say there is no other stand in the D.C. area that carries this product, and we were the first. And I take them over to what is called the Concolor Fir. And
Oscar, can I interrupt here?
Yeah.
These are the moments where I'm in love with him. These are the moments where it's been 30 years of, I just love it. I just picture him, you know.
And also know that I was about 14 years old when I was doing this. So and I'd say, no, I want you to see the.
Some might say when you did your truly best work.
Yes. And that's the second one today, Mike. Go for three. when I go over, I'd say
the 14.
The Concolor Fir has not only the excellent needle retention, it will actually make your house smell like tangerines. And they'll say, what? I say, but first, I want you to look at the needle color. What we have is a medium needle length.
You didn't do all that when you were
14. Mike, I swear it on my soul.
With that level of adult confidence?
Of course. Of course. And then you close. What you do is you show them that the color of the needle is actually
weren't
closer
you like
to that.
Like the little kid in Bad Santa?
In your mind, I guess I was.
I don't know. I'm just having fun.
And so, and the first time we met, you were eating a salad, weren't you?
I'm on my own break.
But I would compare the color of the Concolor needle to that of the Blue Spruce. And I says, but look, you can't prick yourself on this. These are soft needles, easy to decorate. And
was
then,
that a big sale for the old ladies?
Oh, everyone loved the fact. Well, a Blue Spruce is by far the prettiest tree. But by the time it's done and ready to take down, it will draw blood because it gets so pointy and prickly.
But it smells great.
Well, no, the spruce, not so much. The fir is the most fragrant tree. And this is when I could close the deal.
The Fraser fir.
The Fraser fir is an excellent tree. But the Concolor, I would whip out my pocket knife and cut off a sliver of branch and say, here, smell this.
They let you carry a weapon when you were 14?
It was encouraged, Mike, because I was often jumped at night. They would spy the week.
Carrying the trees. Carrying the trees back to the barn.
I got
on your back.
Mike, I got rolled again. But
give him a pocket knife. That'll help him protect himself.
The actual smell of the sap of a Concolor tree, Concolor fir, smell.
Concolor? I've never heard of that.
You see, it's what it is, it's a boutique tree.
Well, and, I don't care. I have an artificial tree.
And it smelled of citrus. And when people smell, I said, it'll make my house smell like this? And I say, yes. And they say, well, how much is it? And I say, well, you got to know. Per foot, it's a little more expensive than the Scotch Pine. But the quality you're getting is really worth it. And then I'd quote them the price, and invariably they'd go for it.
Without any negotiating?
You quote a price, and there you go.
Did you ever get rejected like you do with guests on the show?
Often.
Okay.
But, right. You know.
You just move on?
You move on. You do the best
you can. That's what acting is, dealing with rejection. So I guess if you are a good salesperson, you know how to deal with rejection.
So anyway.
I'd be horrible at it.
But that was towards the golden age of the Christmas tree stand, Mike. The Concolor was a great sales pitch. And then also, I'd say, you know.
You want to see it, Rob? Do you want to do a little playlet of my sales technique?
Sure, sure.
This would be my sales technique if you tell me you're not going to make it, you know. So this is really the best car on the lot, I think, for the money. And I think it's going to go pretty quickly. This is a wonderful opportunity. I think you really should go with this car.
I think I'll pass.
Well, fuck you.
That was more my Uncle Philip style.
Yeah, I didn't do it like Albert Brooks in Wonderful Love. What the hell is it, Albert? What is the Mike, Albert? Lost in America.
Lost in America. God, Albert Brooks and It's a Wonderful Life.
Look, can I be honest with you? Yes, go ahead.
Tough. Yeah. Telling corporate is, I mean, those are big dollars. But
yeah, I couldn't do that,
easy.
I don't think. I couldn't at do all. That. It's not folksy.
Tony, Oscar to me is sounding like, not sounding
like,
but with
quiet.
The delay is like he's in effing Croatia today. Yeah. It was wonderful yesterday.
Why am I? It's the same settings as yesterday. Nothing's changed. Same settings.
I knocked down. I turned your gain down a bit because you were overmodulating at the front of the show.
No, I'm not talking about the audio quality. I'm talking about the latency where the connectivity.
Oh, the latency. Okay.
You're late to me, you guys.
And you're late to
Maybe
me.
That's it. Yeah. Are we late in DC?
No, in DC you look and sound good.
No, but you guys too, you and Mike are gonna have more latency because you're bouncing to DC.
It was fine yesterday.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have you tried the Concolor Comrex unit?
You know, maybe I'm thinking about sales because as I said to Rob when we connected this morning, I said a new brake job, new air conditioning, medicine to keep me alive, my fat medicine, taxes, where the Grim Reaper named Andrew put the hammer down on us last week while we were in New Orleans. That was fun. First call as we stepped into the casino.
Timing.
God, talk about a time. Do you know how many times he's done that? He has a pipeline to when I'm doing something fun where it's like, I'm going to call and wreck his.
Do you think he
right
has like
now.
A lighted Lucite map that tracks where you're going?
You know what I feel? I wrote this down. I don't feel like my golden years are going to be that golden.
Oh.
I truly don't. It just was
slight tarnish.
Like, yeah. However, and I'll ask you guys this. Because I know you have done the same thing I'm doing, where you will bid a job, all right? The guy that came out this morning to give me an estimate on air conditioning down here, I loved the guy. Mm-hmm. Like he was really, there's something just decent about the guy.
You
and
can
I
read
just,
him, yeah.
And he was to the point, and the estimate seemed very fair to me, relatively. To down in this area. You guys were here when the other Slicky Boy came by.
Sure.
Remember that guy that I told to pound sand?
Yeah.
Remember? Yeah. Okay.
And he left his drill behind.
Rob, how about three different estimates all under what that guy did without even telling me a product, without even giving me a product, just like
and probably, I'm guessing, probably a large discrepancy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
because the guy that came out, as I recall, as a disinterested observer, they were
the
able
kid.
To, yeah, the kid, he was maybe 19, 20. He
yep.
came out within 5 hours because they're the biggest firm in town.
Right.
So they were able to give you emergency
That's
service
it.
On a
That's
Sunday.
It. Yeah.
And they charge for that.
Yeah.
And what they were hoping is you are a doddering old man, which you're not. But I think they encounter a lot of them.
I think they do.
And they could say, well, we can get this in on Thursday, brand new for X number of dollars.
Right.
When in fact, the value of the product is substantially less.
Yeah, it sucks. Anyway, so I'm dealing with that right now. It's
sucks.
That time. It's, you know, I don't remember. April being this. And by the way, it's the anniversary of my mom passing, God rest her soul, last week on April 22nd. We lost her, you know, and it's just a drag, man. It's just a drag and taxes and all that. But the good news is I'm here, and I don't know whether to give you guys the bad news that's coming from Mrs. O'Mara or give you the good news.
Oscar, do you have a preference?
Always bad first.
Just I think so. I agree.
Mrs. O'Mara does not want this table in here.
Oh.
Mrs. O'Mara does not feel that this table has changed anything. Mrs. O'Mara feels this table is taking up way too much space, and Mrs. O'Mara wants me to go back to the other console table that I had before.
Do you still have
Mrs. O'Mara doesn't understand why I'm doing the same thing I did before with a giant round table that, you know, that she sits at, and there's only
you're supposed to have guests.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
Do you have the other console still?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Remember, he wanted to throw it away. Here. We forced him to keep it.
Yeah. I was wondering if you had gone through and thrown it away. I know we was there when we left, but I wanted to make sure it was still on premises.
Yeah. It's still here.
Well, whatever you do, sell that table for at least maybe 80% of what we paid for it, please.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know what it's just
$2,000.
Well, next, when they
$1,600.
When they put the air conditioning in, I'm going to have to haul it out of the way.
Well, make them haul it.
We'll see. It's just
It was strange to me that you even moved out of the guest room. Like when we finally did everything, it was strange that like we were moved you out of your guest room.
We were forced. Then,
yeah, I felt like we were forced to move you out of your guest room, but not by it was like a rush to get out of your guest room where you had a studio with a closed door to the garage. And then we got into the garage and it was like, all right, don't take up the entire garage. So it was interesting. And now we've set this beautiful studio for you, and now we have to change it again. That's wild.
Yeah, but it's not beautiful. It's not. It's a pain in the ass.
It's beautiful on camera.
On camera, it's a knockout.
No, but I think that nothing will change. The table won't change that, though. I think that we'll be able to keep the distance from the camera. I've got a brand new monitor in here. You guys have, we got the connectivity out here so we can stay in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I see her point. We have the pipe and drape studio that looks great. I don't think it's that big a deal to rearrange some stuff in here. You know, I did it after you guys left too. I moved stuff around a little bit.
Oh yeah, of course. Yes.
And I think that's all this really is. So I get what she wants. She wants to have a little utility in the garage, which I understand. And by the way, moving out of there was so that we could have people stay, like you and Rob did.
And when, I debuted that. Yeah, it was a beautiful guest room.
But we never.
I think it would be
a
bad
again.
Form. It would be bad form to have people stay in the garage when they're visiting. That would be bad form.
We have a pool
that only
and a
benefits
pond.
You and Carla.
What do you mean?
Like us moving you out of into the garage only benefits you and Carla. I'm saying it was supposed to be for the show, and now you're taking away the big table. So when you have people on the show, you won't have a table.
Yeah,
leaning
I think
over
that,
like you did before.
How many people have I had as guests in here?
You've only had a month worth of. Of studio time and a week.
No, but I mean
before
that.
Well, the excuse was that you didn't have room for people. Now you have room.
Yeah, I don't know.
How dead set is Carla on getting the table out of there?
Carla believes, and I agree with her on this one, that when we set this up, that there was going to be a two-camera setup here, and someone would sit like over there. And but that doesn't even you guys don't even do that when somebody comes in. You kind
of no, we
everybody
sit on the same
the
side
back,
of the table,
right?
And
correct,
you have them
correct.
sit on the back. Correct. So her point was that if we configure the other table, which I like, and I'm glad you didn't make me you didn't let me throw that away.
Okay.
When we configure that, because that table ended up being kind of a TV stand where I put my monitor.
Yeah.
But the other table, I think, with a two-shot, if it was configured properly, I think it would fit the bill with having a guest come by. But I don't know. And I don't want to deal with it.
I've learned this.
Think about
whatever makes the lady of the house happy,
Just happy life, happy wife.
Yes.
Get the cash. Get some of that cash back into the corporate account, please. Because that was that is not a cheap purchase for us.
Well, there's a lot of surface area that's unused on this table, and nor would it ever be used.
Matt, do you mind panning down on Rob's camera and zooming out and showing how much surface area Rob has? Just to give him some context. I think this is
good. You mean Rob himself or the room?
Oh, no. I have plenty of surface area, Pony, and that's quite enough from you.
Did you see that? Mike, you saw that, right?
Yeah.
Lots of table space. Yeah.
All right, hold on. You need lots of table space.
All right. Here we go.
You don't have to have it. I just think it's important.
Yeah, it's a nice feature.
You have a lot of cleaning supplies.
He loves those yellow cloths.
Hi.
What?
Hello.
Hey, I like that
Hello
shot.
Over there. Yes. Yes. Rosebud.
Mike, stop it.
Rosebud.
All right, now
I do think that's
Pony,
a sensational
table. Pony, what button do I hit
table.
To go back to the original shot?
Just hit number one, the
Which
black
one? There are
button.
Two. There's a white one and a black one.
The black one.
Hey.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I did that. Yay. We'll see. But anyway, it does.
Well, you
yeah,
said there
understand.
Was also good news. Oscar, are you whispering to someone?
Yeah, Shannon's here. She's trying to get my internet.
Hi, Shannon.
Short up. Say hi, Shannon. She said no.
Yeah, I've seen her walking around with her
why
arms
is
folded.
Why is she salty? Wow, that
looks.
We really
got to help.
Oh,
she's got to help her husband.
When are you coming back? When are you come back home? When are you coming back?
Tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Pony,
I'll do the show.
Why does this suck
out?
So bad today? Why does that suck so bad?
I think today we just have extra latency, and because you're both talking to each other through us, it makes it even worse.
How come it worked yesterday?
Because yesterday the latency was probably not as bad, would be my guess. And I will, you know what? I will even do what I can to reduce his latency without having
hold
him
on,
lose.
Hold on. So I'm going hardwired. I'll be right back.
Okay.
So Mike, what Pony basically said is that when it's better, it's better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when it's worse, it's not as good.
Unfortunately, that can be how the internet works. Yeah.
And there's Shannon again.
Can she say hi?
I don't think she's of a mind.
Does she have her arms folded?
Yes, most of the morning she has.
Right. She's a good trooper.
She really is.
So speaking of wives, if I can interject this, this weekend, my wife, she has a customer appreciation party.
Oh.
And I have been hired as the janitor for that custom appreciation party. And, you know, you guys saw, we have a lovely pool deck down here, right?
Yes.
Isn't it a beautiful outdoor area where we
Gorgeous.
Hung out a little bit?
Yes.
And I have been tasked with sprucing it up a little bit. And we're going to see. Bye, Shannon.
So long, Krabby.
Bye-bye. I just keep seeing her in this shot. It's making me happy.
It's not going to be able to go. I'm good. I'm good. It doesn't matter. Sure. We're good.
Getting back to my being tasked with being the janitor.
More of a janitor or a butler? I'm curious as to how it falls
out. It's preparing the home on the outside to have guests.
Oh, so you're not going to butle during the event?
I have to be here, though, which I didn't even
know. Hey, that's what? Terrific.
I have to be here.
I don't understand why you have to do anything. Like, you do this.
Yeah, I know. Well, because the ledger. That's why, Oscar.
Oh, yeah.
The ledger.
I gotcha.
The ledger. And the ledger is starting to, move towards an area of balance.
Yeah.
And when the ledger starts moving towards an area of balance, one has to do what one. But the thing is, it's going to be like an esthetician's party, and I don't want to be here on Saturday.
You have to prepare, Mike. You have to prepare some small talk.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
I know.
Your pores look great.
No, not esthetician shtick.
Oh, what, no?
No.
What would small talk would you prepare, Oscar?
I'd just say, hey, like, what do you guys do when you're not making money? Waka, 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 waka.
Right. My shtick is better than that.
Because I am Carla's husband, and I'm really happy to be here. And thank you all for coming, and I'll be here if you need me. Yeah, it was good talking to you. Thank you all.
Can't you have an emergency golf game come up?
No. No way.
I'd be
in trouble.
What would be great is if you said it's there's food over here, and here's drinks. You can be sure to help yourself. I'm getting in the pool. And then jump in.
With my clothes.
Fully clothed.
How about if I give him this speech? Okay. I'll give him this speech, all right?
Do I need to be liked? Absolutely not. I like to be liked. I enjoy being liked. I have to be liked. But it's not like this compulsive need to be liked, like my need to be praised.
See, I'm just, because I did all the work on the weekend, I'll be going to it for really... That's kind of shoehorned in there. I, by the way, I cop to that. I'm shoehorning in these sounds because I did the work.
I understand.
That's it. It's great to be with it. Yes.
There's a saying that if you see women or men on any average weekday having coffee at 10, 11 a.m. with not a care in the world, you're in the right neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it.
And all I see is people walking by. I'm bringing down the property values. There's so many cables here on this deck that they're like, I wonder what's going on up there.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that about bringing the property values down. Because the air conditioning unit that I have for this house is located above my head.
Yes.
Directly above my head. So I have to open up the secret, the secret Batman garage door. And as I open it up this morning at 7:15. To move some stuff, straighten some stuff out. Of course, there's a walker.
Yeah.
And I get I get the walk. I'll show you the walk where it's like. I'm paranoid about it. Well, I shouldn't be. I'm paranoid about it.
Well, this is how the playlet went. It said, George, do you know that house like five blocks up with the young granddaughter, she moved in.
I think they're shooting pornos in there.
I saw a lot of cameras and a couch.
Do you think she's one of those OnlyFan ladies?
By the way, you know what I could do as a side hustle? Yeah. Oh my God, I could do baby photography in here, like Rodney Dangerfield in Easy Money.
That'd be good.
I could do that perfect.
But it would only be babies with headphones in front of a microphone.
It's so creepy.
DJ babies. Right. But Mike, I've encountered plenty of walkers in your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And and I thought you might have been overstating the way they are. You are not. And I can see that exactly happening. And
yeah,
also, the talker, there will be some sort of underground... telephone wire of what I heard is this, and what he used to do.
You know, can I be honest with you, in this particular neighborhood, I don't think there's enough interaction to really be bothered by that. I think it's more what you experienced walking around was being left alone. Your neighborhood's the same way. They're all the same way nowadays. Everybody keeps to themselves. Everybody does their own. You might have a good relationship, as I do with George and Janice next door.
Yeah.
I have a good relationship with them, but by and large, and I say hello to people, except for, them.
I made good contacts with everyone that I would see that walked a dog. If they have a dog, you have an in and you get to know them and you say hello and that.
I am perfectly okay with not having neighbors that I have to have too much of a relationship with.
Okay.
I'm okay with that. It just doesn't, kids today are playing on computers with each other. That's how they do it. Although my son has what I had when I was a kid. He has sleepovers. He's getting another one Friday night. He loves that. But I don't know if I would prefer... Mike, anytime I'm going out to my car, if I'm, loading trash into the back of the car or stuff to take to storage and I've got a hangover and I got hey, what are you loading in the back of your car? That I don't need.
You don't want to like that the neighborhood in that Harry Styles movie that was just on Netflix?
Yeah, the one where they're in the fake world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That would be horrible. You don't.
By the way,
that.
I'm watching a show that a lot of listeners recommended to me, a show on Netflix called Beef right now.
Oh, I've heard of this. Yeah,
I've seen it.
Really good all Asian cast, and not all Asian, but all predominantly Asian cast, and centers around their families and their life. And it's really fascinating. And her whole goal is to be one of the moms, and it takes place in Los Angeles, by the way. One of the moms that Oscar's talking about, where they're having coffee mid morning,
right?
And that's kind of the goal.
Yeah.
Did you I guess relate to the main character, the same lady, the entrepreneur? Did you relate to her on the opening sequence of the movie?
Did I? Stop blowing me up, please. Honest to God.
It's not a spoiler, but
right
in the series, the opening action, is just built around a road rage incident.
A huge road rage. And it's got all the elements. And we're not doing a spoiler alert. Go watch this. And you'll enjoy it just as much as
it sets you up.
First of all, I've experienced all of it, every single bit of it in road rage. There's the longhorn.
We were watching it. I paused it. I said, do you think this is how it gets from Mike Homebarrow?
I've experienced the longhorn, both giving and receiving.
Yes.
I have experienced that. I have experienced the flip out the window. You know what I have never done?
What?
What I have never done. I fantasized about it. I have never thrown objects out the window in another car because it was done to me.
Good for you.
And I said I would never do I said I would never do that. I would never do that. And that's featured in this.
What was thrown at you?
I was in when I was a baby DJ and I got my first big contract and I went out and I bought the best car, the car that I always wanted, a car that I wanted more than anything, most expensive car I ever bought. And in today's prices, it would still be the most expensive car I bought. I bought a Mercedes SL, that sports car back in the
day. What a wonderful car.
I drove up, never felt better in my life. I was so excited. And I realized within maybe 24 to 48 hours of driving that when you drive a car like that, everybody hates you. People think you're an a-hole. And you can't behave like you would before.
Right.
So, I get cut off right before we have a bridge in Washington, D.C. on the Beltway called the Woodrow Wilson Bridge.
No, I know they've done modifications.
It used to be. It's not anymore, is it?
I believe it is still
a drawbridge.
They put a new one in since.
Yeah. This was on the old one.
Okay.
Maybe three lanes leading up to it. And I get a truck cutting me off and I lean on my horn and I get in the left lane and he looks and I see him looking in his side view mirror and I go, yeah, like that. And then he cuts me off again.
Yes.
And we're literally down to three lanes on the bridge, getting onto the bridge.
Oh, the worst.
And I see go over my head a length of pipe.
Oh, my God.
He had opened his door and dropped it out of the door. It bounced on the road. I had my top down. And I'm talking about my shirt top.
Of course.
I had my my top down to the convertible, and it went over my head. And from that day forward, it made me take a giant step back about road rage. You don't know. It happens all the time. People kill each other. I've never thrown anything out the window.
I was expecting like some trash from McDonald's.
The guy easily killed me.
Yeah.
Easily killed me. Ugh. And I, from that point, you never know. But this road rage, if you want to see one of the, and I love a television show that dives in right like that. I think it's fantastic. It kind of meanders like they all do. But I mean, it was really fascinating, and all this lady wants is to cash out. She wants to cash out, and it's interesting that that Oscar related to me with the road rage when the lady's going around deal making all the time. I related to Oscar all the time that's the way he is living his life now.
Yes, the deal guy.
That's kind of what it is.
The parallels of life and what is it? Art. Yesterday, I was on the phone with my brother. He was just getting out of the hospital in Boston, and he's like, "How's L.A.?" I said, "Vacation Land, USA." As I'm driving,
so you had your day off yesterday, well, let's take a break. We got to take a break, catch up here a little bit. We'll come back a little, news for you, and then later on in the show, I want to hear about your observations of L.A. and Rob's observations about life in general. With what's that new thing you're calling it? What's it going to be called?
What's the problem?
Problem with two B's, get it? Rob Fuhrer. We'll take a break, everybody. Come back with more. You are listening to The Michael Mara Show. In the arms
of the Hi, everyone. I'm Twitch. Will you be an angel for a helpless creature? It's a new year, and it's also a renewed chance to show you care. Do you have room in your heart this year? Do you have room in your home? Do you have room to adopt Jim Amato?
I won't take up much room.
For just one day, Jim Amato.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. No, I'm
done?
Sorry. Yeah, it's just
yeah, never again.
Oh! Didn't expect the second one.
That's not coming back.
Let it end.
No, I think it needs one more. All right. Dump the dump truck on it again. There we go. There you go. A little bit more.
I think we're done here.
Very good. All right, that's good. Wonderful. What is that?
That's music for your commercial.
Sorry. Hey, are you tired of cherished memories gathering dust in your closet? With Legacy Box, you can digitize all your analog media with ease and with safety.
What is that?
This Mother's Day, give the perfect gift to your mom or grandma and connect with your family's history with Legacy Box. You can hear your grandma's voice again. Simply send in your Legacy Box filled with old VHS tapes, camcorder tapes, and pictures. Their team will professionally digitize everything by hand in the USA. And they send it back to you on a thumb drive or the cloud along with the originals. Legacy Box is the easiest and the safest way to preserve your cherished memories. It's like magic. Spend quality time with loved ones and cherish your memories forever. Thanks to Legacy Box, I can even hang out with my folks, and Rob can spend time with Big Daddy. It's the best. For a limited time, go to legacybox.com/TMOS for their best Mother's Day sale ever. And I mean ever. Buy today, take advantage of 60% off Legacy Box, and just send it in when you are ready, people. Legacy Box rocks. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS. And we thank you, Legacy Box.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This is the homepage, and we start today with Pete Davidson. His late night car crash didn't result in serious injury, but that doesn't mean the comedian is going to get off scot-free, because we've learned he is now facing possible criminal charges.
Oh, Peter. Peter.
Law enforcement tells sources that the Beverly Hills Police Department recently wrapped its investigation. He was out in Beverly Hills, out where you are, Oscar. And they sent the case to the DA to determine whether Pete will be charged for the crash. As first reported, drugs and alcohol ruled out. They weren't involved, but speed was. And Pete was traveling at a high rate of speed when he hit the house. So you have to imagine, at the very least, a reckless driving charge is on the table, Mr. Davidson.
To be fair, Mike, the house came out of nowhere.
Yes, it did. Yeah. But I understand he charmed the house and then he banged it. There were some...
Did the house used to belong to another famous person?
Yes, it did. Yeah, yeah. And they were rebounding.
Yes, of course.
There were some huge shakeups in cable news yesterday. Tucker Carlson was fired from Fox News yesterday, and CNN let Don Lemon go. There were probably several factors involved in both. My only memory of Tucker Carlson is when I believe I had a surprise birthday party lunch with my daughters that Carla set up for us at the Palm restaurant, and Tucker Carlson came by, and for some reason, Tommy Giacomo, God rest his wonderful soul, brought Tucker over to say hi to me and said that he's a fan of yours and he wanted to say hello, and now he's fired. I didn't realize, you know, I might have punched him if I knew then what I know now, but who knows? No official word on why Tucker was let go, but sources say Rupert Murdoch himself made the call. Ball on the floor.
And then Rupert Murdoch put on his
going full socks. Beast. I'm going full beast on you, Tucker. It would be an understatement to say a lot's been going on at Fox these days. They just agreed to pay Dominion Voting Systems $787.5 million to avoid a defamation trial, which Tucker and Kyle and and Todd, other hosts would be confronted with texts proving they knew they were peddling BS about election interference because they had those records.
Half the settlement, though, it's over $700 million, but $300 million of it is in pillows.
I can't believe we settled for $787 million. There's also a discrimination lawsuit pending from former Fox producer Abby Grossberg, who claims she was bullied and subjected to anti-Semitic comments while working on his show. Man, oh, man.
What a good guy.
Sounds like the go-go 80s when everybody was coked up.
This is the part of... I think this is a fake culling. I don't believe everything that's happening because... Like, of course, this lawsuit is a byproduct of the lawsuit. But are they changing their stripes? No.
No, I don't think so at all. Are they going to move somebody else? They put Brian Kilmeade in there.
He's great.
Put that gnat in there.
What a fine journalist.
Fine. Some of those journalists at Fox are really fine.
Really fine.
Moving on to Don Lemon. Don says...
Wait, what do you... Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Why do you think Don got fired?
He said he was stunned to find out yesterday he was being let go. Listen to what happened. He was given no indication that he was on his way out. In addition to his ratings not being great, Lemon has been involved in several controversies lately, particularly due to comments about women. Like when he said professional female soccer players shouldn't be paid as much as the men because they're not as interesting to watch. Or when, look, you can think that, you just don't say it on CNN.
Exactly.
Probably a bad job. Or when he suggested, no, I didn't mean you can think that like I would agree with it.
No.
Or when he suggested that women are no longer in their prime after their 20s or 30s, referring to Nikki Haley. And Variety ran a piece earlier this month about Don's misogyny and diva-like behavior behind the scenes. And apparently, I read a little more about this, that Don Lemon was let go. He was actually notified by his agent. Nobody even called him. You know?
Wow.
In my case, I wasn't
well,
that
that's
bad.
That's typical broadcasting.
I wasn't let go by my agent. I actually called the program director. And he said it wasn't my idea. That was my confirmation. Yeah. Hi, CK. Anywho.
They should have fired him just based on the New Year's Eve broadcasts.
Yeah, I think so. Now, Bam Margera is a wanted man in Pennsylvania. This guy, it just continues. He's wanted on a slew of criminal charges. This after cops say he got into an altercation and made a getaway into the woods. State troopers responded to a reported disturbance Sunday morning around 11 a.m. Sunday morning. That means a night out, probably.
Yeah, and also never run into the woods.
Bam was involved in some sort of physical confrontation. By the time cops showed up, he had fled the scene of the incident into a nearby wooded area. And as of now, he has not been found. A warrant has been issued for his arrest, and the Pennsylvania State Police are actively searching for him, asking the public for any help or info regarding his whereabouts. The charges he's facing sound pretty serious, although, much like old Pete Davidson, they're misdemeanors. I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen to Bam? I think this is a more serious crime. Let me share this one with you.
Yeah.
The manager of a Pennsylvania McDonald's restaurant is accused of taking nearly $50,000 over the course of 6 months. The owner of the restaurant told police they believe an employee, Stephanie Vansickle.
Oh.
Those pesky Vansickles.
Always.
She'd been stealing from the business due to discrepancies with the deposits that she handled. Woo!
Yeah, that's tricky stuff.
According to the arrest affidavit, it began with a deposit on September 6th that was short $20.35. What was the register printout showing it should be? A couple of days later, the business was short $400.76. You see, she found out she could get away with
it. Sounds like someone was testing the waters, yeah.
Or could she?
Oh.
Stephanie wasn't sure. Miss Vansickle was going down a slippery slope. By the end of September, Vansickle had allegedly shorted the business $3,153, according to court documents. The thefts continued, police said, with Vansickle allegedly taking increasing amounts each month, $6,000+ in October, plus $9,000 in November, and over $10,000 in December. Police said by the end of March, the grand total taken reached $48,625. She was charged with felony counts of theft and receiving stolen property. She was released on $10,000 unsecured bail. Trouble! And now a little something-something, ladies and gentlemen. 36-year-old Florida man, his name is Jacob Parrish. He is behind bars after he tried to rob a Wells Fargo business advisor office in Lake County, Florida, on Friday afternoon, believing it was a bank.
Okay.
The office building is not a bank branch. He saw the sign. It said Wells Fargo.
Sure.
Holds no cash. Police say the man was armed with a knife. That'll always work. And he told an employee he was going to rob the joint.
With a knife.
The employee locked the door, ran off, locked himself inside a room, called the police. Cops say that this gentleman who thought it was a bank has a lengthy criminal record. He was also charged a few years back with burglary after he broke into a Golden Corral restaurant looking for some 18-carat horses. There you go. Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. Yeah, I want to tell you, 18-carat horses. Fit off. We'll take a break. Wild. Wild, everybody. We'll come back from L.A. and Washington on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, I'm Ina Garten. My favorite podcast, The Mike O'Mara Show, is incredibly funny. But sometimes when I want to listen, my hands are full. Literally. It's not easy to download a podcast with a fistful of roasted eggplant spread covered with a reduced garlic aioli. Or if you're 10 little piggies or cradling a standing rib roast with a crispy Gruyere Yorkshire pudding. That's why when I'm in the Barefoot Contessa kitchens, I rely on Alexa. How easy is that? All I have to say is, hey Alexa, play the Mike O'Mara Show, and the most recent episode plays right away. How easy is that? Even Jeffrey can do it, and I actually really hate him. In fact, we really hate each other. It's like being married to a hobbit. How tragic is that? TMOS and Alexa, they go together like little thin slices of salami and caper berry. Now back to my custard.
That doesn't sound like Ina Garten.
Anyway, welcome back
to the Mike O'Mara Show. Are you tired of chasing after health and wellness trends that come and go? It can be exhausting to try to keep up. But with Noom, you don't have to worry about following the latest fad. Noom is a weight loss program that I use every single day. They use psychology to help you make intentional and sustainable choices that align with your values and weight loss goals. With Noom, you can build habits and behaviors that will last a lifetime, and you can do things like lose 50 pounds, like your boy here.
Yeah.
It's not just about losing weight. It's about creating a healthier relationship with food and your body. All over your body. The best part, Noom focuses on progress, not perfection. So whatever your health goals are, you can achieve them at your own pace. Plus, first-time Noomers lose an average of 15 pounds after being active in the program for 16 weeks. Noom helped Oscar lose over 20 pounds, helped Mike O'Mara lose over 50 pounds. Amazing results, and stop chasing health trends and build sustainable, healthy habits with the company I use to log my weight every single day. Noom, their psychology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com/TMOS. That's Noom.com/TMOS to sign up for your trial and check out Noom's first ever book, The Noom Mindset. That's a deep dive into the psychology of behavior change, available now wherever books are sold. Welcome back to the show. As we mentioned before, Oscar did a lot of work for Podville Media with the LA Times.
Yes.
That's why he's out in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And you said you were giving yourself a free LA day yesterday. Did you do anything special around the Los Angeles area yesterday?
Yeah, I tried to go to the beach, Mike, and I realized that you're a tourist when you think it's 70 degrees and it's beach weather in Los Angeles.
Right.
As I drove down with my towel and my swim trunks on just to see what's going on and realize that no one else is out there except for people from another land. So I didn't get out of the car.
You didn't even get out of the car?
No, you should have
at least gone down and put your feet in the Pacific.
No, you made the drive. And then subsequently I said, okay, well, maybe I'll just go check out to see what the scene is for the restaurants. And you know this, Mike, any beach town has like the little outdoor seating area, especially if it's cool, it's not too humid. You have a lot of that in Florida.
Yeah.
And I realized, oh, it's a Monday, but with everybody working from home, it could be the weekend for all I knew because every little restaurant was jammed.
Really? Packed with people.
Packed.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a different conversation for me because I know that traffic in DC is terrible, but we all have heard for years that traffic in LA is worse.
Mm-hmm.
And when I ask you this, I probably know the answer. If you were willing to take a 50% pay cut back in the day where you had to slog into work and you had to go into the office every day, for the peace of mind of working from home, would you do that?
Back in the day, yeah, I probably would.
Yeah.
I probably would because, you know, the idea of, I have been working remotely, and we all have to a degree, for a very long time. But me in particular, I have been working remotely for well over a decade and a half, and I dig it. I dig it. A little under a decade and a half.
Yeah.
And I like it. I like it. There's a distance factor that allows everything that's good about interpersonal communication and nothing that's bad. And I realize, especially in the broadcast business, that when, you know, when we are off camera or off microphone, that's the most awkward time in many cases. That's when it's just, you know, it had to be, Rob, I think back to the old radio show. It had to be exhausting for you because you had to be kind of like a court jester. Can you hear that, by the way?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Is it a blower or what is it? A weed eater?
It's a weed whacker.
Okay. Yeah. It's hard to tell the frequency.
I know. Anyway, it's just it's contributing to the overall happiness state of the show.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's
but Mike,
it's
you're right. There was
I would do it though. The short answer is I would do it. I absolutely would do it.
But yeah, it was weird being slave to the studio for 4 hours straight, and it was exhausting at times. Mm-hmm. As far as the court jestery, I would do it. Absolutely now, yeah.
A 50% pay cut.
Yeah,
No, not a 50% pay cut. 25% maybe, not 50%. No, absolutely not. I can't leave that money on the table. Nobody can leave that money on the table, can they?
No.
Well, it depends. I guess I'm trying to weigh what value not commuting is to you.
It's massive. Well, it's extended not only my career but my life. I hated it. It was the worst thing. You remember when years ago, I tell a story about going back to see you guys in D.C. and being out in Manassas, visiting my mother-in-law and driving in 2.5 hours to go 24 miles.
Yep.
And coming in and you guys were kind of laughing at me going, you're here one day. You're here one day and you're bitching about this. The seminal moment for me is back in Washington, D.C. I had done a morning show back in the day and had a nice little commute in about 5:15 in the morning, driving past the Washington Monument, watching the sunrise and driving into D.C. Before everybody was hitting the road.
Yeah.
And then flash forward to 20 years later, where I got a job in D.C. working with Kirk McEwen at a rock station, and I got up. And I hit the road at 4:30, went down to the main drag, and there was a full-fledged rush hour bumper-to-bumper happening. That's how it's changed. And I don't know what it is now. Rob, you get up early, and you're on the road. But, well, what's the earliest you've ever seen rush hour now where you guys are in D.C.?
Oh, I've seen it in total thickness before 6 a.m.
Yeah, and that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, I saw it out on Route 66 at 4:30. Mm-hmm. It's not as bad now with the COVID.
No,
pandemic,
it's not as bad
right?
as you. It's probably 50% of what it was before, but it is a shock.
It's getting better. I'm getting worse, I should say. It's thickening up. It truly is. So,
okay. The problem is everybody has a car now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was that Oscar? Say it again.
I said everybody has a car now.
Yes.
Mike, you probably don't realize this, but mass transit. Like the ridership is down by over 60% because people don't want to ride the metro anymore. And now with everybody coming out of COVID, you know, people moved out of the city. Now they have two cars instead of one car.
Right.
We have more cars commuting in. I only asked that because that was posed to me, you know, honestly, by somebody that I saw this weekend. They basically said to me, they said, at what price would you be okay with staying home? And I said that no one's ever posed that question to me. It's just, I had never thought about that. And I said, well, that's unfair for me to even think about because my only reference to a commute was when I was reverse commuting to Manassas.
That's right.
And it was 35 minutes, even though we were going, it felt like 50 miles. It was 35. It wasn't bad. But if it was an hour commute, even if you could save on gas and parking and tolls.
And tolls, yeah.
Right.
At what price are you losing your upward mobility in your career? Like, at what price does that come with?
Yeah. That, I mean, yeah, everybody's got to think right? about that yeah. now. Yeah. And so they were yeah. telling you basically, yeah, we got a great new facility, but nobody wants to use it. Everybody wants to stay.
Well, they're
home
saying,
and,
they're saying, out. Yeah, they're, well, and I think this is happening across the country, right? We have the same thing at Podville. The building we're in, maybe 50% of the occupancy isn't there. And the people that, you know, pay that, I guess the lease, they're like, I wish this would be used, but you also have to, you evolve or die. Mm-hmm. You realize that not everybody has to come back, right? Not everybody does. I was talking to Rob's wife a week ago, and she said, can Rob work from home? And I said, we've tried that. And he was, you know, frankly, an abysmal employee from home. And I was like, but if he improves,
how many is that today, more than Rob? Welcome how many is that?
My pen's out of ink.
Do you like going to work? I think sometimes that you don't mind coming in.
No, I do like, it depends on what's going on. But as far as being here for the show, it's imperative. It, mm-hmm. I mean, especially
like
I mean,
people.
I do like people, and it was right. really it, yeah. it really worked against it. But if it's just going to be editing or something like that, I just as soon do it at home. But mm-hmm. you know, it is. It's a long ride. It truly, truly is.
I can't deal with it. I hate it when I take my kid to school. It drives me out of my mind. And you see the people that can handle it and the people that can't.
Right.
And I have a 25-minute drive down to take my kid to school. And mm-hmm. Carla's done it every day this week for you know because she's been downtown
as she should.
Oh, as she should do all things. You know. Now, as I said, it's the ledger. It's yeah. it's the ledger.
Oscar, you know? Did you go to the HQ for the LA Times or have you just seen pictures?
No, I was there for days.
Did you see the big memorial for Logan Roy in the lobby?
It is interesting, though. There is, and look, this is no, there is an LA mentality.
Sure.
And I felt the same thing when we moved to Scottsdale or the Phoenix area, where everyone makes you feel like you are like aggressive and not aggressive, but you are a little too much where you're like, hey, like slow down. Like, because we're so used to moving so fast on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That they're like, hey, like we can get that to that tomorrow. And then it's not because they're bad people. It's because you can get to it tomorrow.
I love going out there. Let's get it done. Mm-hmm. I love visiting yeah. out there. And I, by the way, I've got the right vibe. I've got the right vibe when I go to LA. I can't go anywhere in LA without, I'll play a clip of what a woman said about me when I was in okay. LA.
Mike is very, very, very attractive.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It goes a long way out there. It really does.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Once again, another random sports of the soundboard that I have. I just gathered sounds, you know.
That was natural. That wasn't shoehorned in.
No, that was good.
No, that was very, very, right, lady?
Mike is very, very, very attractive.
Yes, thank you.
Three varies, yeah.
Thank you, lovey. We'll be right back, everybody.
Hello, friends. You're listening to the mighty AM 1630 KCJJ, and I'm here with the grand poobah of that radio station, Mr. Steve Bridges. Steve, how you doing today?
Yeah, not too good. No one's paying.
Well, I understand that, Steve, but you love radio, don't you?
I hate it.
Don't you love the Mike O'Mara show?
Yeah, by the way, no one's paying.
Okay, that's Steve Bridges, and you're listening to the mighty AM 1630 KCJJ, where you can hear the Mike O'Mara show Monday through Friday at 4:30 in the afternoon.
By the way, I need some promos.
You're going to get them, Steve.
What?
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Embrace spring with electric e-bikes.
Yes.
Experience the joy of outdoor adventures with fast, fun, foldable electric e-bikes. Take advantage of the Ready, Set, Spring sale and enjoy financing options as low as $73 per month. Electric e-bikes are perfect for anyone, whether you're going on a quick store trip or a longer adventure. These bikes are packed with features such as a powerful removable battery, bright LCD display, 7-speed gearing, and 5 levels of pedal assist. Plus, riding an e-bike can help lower your gas costs and reduce your carbon footprint. Join Oscar and other happy riders in town and say goodbye to parking fees. Don't miss out on the freedom of riding an electric e-bike this spring. Start your next adventure with Electric E-Bikes Ready, Set, Spring Sale. Visit electricebikes.com to learn more and explore the new Expedition Cargo e-bike and all of the other epic models Electric has to offer. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Rob has been wanting to talk about something, for quite a while now, and that is the idea of a certain form of art that's been around forever. I mean, been around for a very long time. You started to see it. It originally formed in offices. That's where you would see this. And then it branched out into homes. You see it on memes.
Oh, all the time.
To say I hate it is an understatement, but is the name of it, is it called what you said, sentiment decor?
Yes, and Mike, I'm glad to know you also hate it. It drives me crazy.
It.
Sentiment decor, just for a perfect example, is if someone in their home has a framed picture in cursive, seems to me normally a cream-colored background with brown letters, and it says, live, laugh, love.
And I had that.
You have that?
I'm embarrassed.
Why? How do you have that?
You have that in your house?
I had that. I had that.
All right. Yeah.
I had that for 4 years. And one day I walked by, I said, no one's living. No one's laughing. No one's loving.
By the way, you don't need the words. All you need are the letters.
That's right. Don't get happy. DGH. Right there. And I've seen in people's homes where they actually take it to the next level and stencil sentiment decor on their wall. And I'm like, what are you doing? Don't paint that on your wall. Don't go into a kitchen that has the word eat on it. That's stupid.
Yeah,
and it drives me crazy. Well, they took a survey about sentiment decor, and it's still very popular. Did you know in a new poll, 24% of people say they love those signs and 25% like them. 28% said they don't mind them. Only 8% hate them. And I think that we need a little more hatred in our lives, because I don't like seeing them at all.
Better together.
but guys, it's like, if you buy this from Bed Bath & Beyond, by the way, before they go out of business.
Them now. They're cheaper.
And then you slide a couple pictures in, fine. That's lazy. That's boring.
Yeah.
But if you have a full wall of pictures of you and your family, and it shows not generations, but let's say the past 5 years of a growth.
Yeah.
The family growing up. I respect that. That is time. That is a commitment. That is you're really putting in the effort for something.
You should get a sign, Oscar, that says commitment.
But, you know what? I'm going to put this in my guest room. I just saw this when I brought this up. This is I'm sorry. And for any of you that have done this.
Okay.
If you put this on your wall, you are an a-hole. There is just nowhere.
No,
here it is. All right. Guests, we're glad to have you as our guest and hope you have a good night's rest. Tomorrow you again may roam, but while you're here, just feel at home. Nothing would make me feel less at home. Nothing would make me feel less. I sound like Louis Blake. Nothing would make me feel less at home than somebody on a poster telling me to feel at home. Get bent. Thank you.
One of my favorite ones that really, it drove me so crazy, I took a picture of it and texted it to my friend Brad. It was in a bathroom, and it said, germs and Jesus are everywhere, so wash up and don't forget to pray.
No, wrong. I can't stand it. Oh, there's so many. Oh, my God. The best things in life are the people. Oh, what? Stop. Shut up. Yep.
Live.
This is the 10-day, boys. This is the 10 days. This is the absolute 10 broadcasting. Damn it. Well, I get them out. Whoever you are, well, whoever it is, they've just lost. And if it's the guy that's coming out here on Thursday, I'm giving the job to the other guy.
Just based on that?
That's a general principle of that phone ringing.
What you should do, Mike, is you should text him back.
I had it open because they had a million people coming and going today, so I had my phone on.
Text him back. Text him back. Live, laugh, love.
Yeah, exactly.
Sentiment.
You know, trying to do it. All right. Let's see. The best things in life are the people we love, the places we've been, and the memories we've made along the way. If you have to put that in a framed picture, I don't buy it. Like, I'm gonna piss people off again.
That's all right.
When I bought my restaurant back in the day,
yes.
When I thought that might be my future.
Yes.
I have to tell you, the Parrot Heads used to come in, the Jimmy Buffett fans.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a thing.
And the Buffett fans used to be professional we're having funners.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like they couldn't just come in with friends, tell a great story. No, they had to have artificial parrots on their shoulders and Hawaiian shirts and crazy straw hats. And they were the nastiest bunch of MFers that I ever came across. They're the most demanding, entitled, needy, complaining, horrible customers that I could not believe it. And we catered. The old guy that owned the place before me catered to them. Guess what? I didn't. You want to see those happy we're having fun people turn on a dime? It was not fun. It was not. But it's the same thing with putting the thing, you know, home is where the, don't preach. I need anybody preaching to me. Come on.
When I used to do a weekend shift in Pennsylvania, halfway from my home to the radio station was a place called Paul's Pancake Barn.
How did you find that
place? Well, I mean, it was right on the highway. And after driving by it several times, I said, you know what? I'm going to the Pancake Barn. And I went in and I got pancakes. But that's not the story. They had a sign by the cash register that had just... Now, I apologize if this is offensive. I'm just recounting what I saw.
All right.
It was an image of Jesus being crucified, but just his arms on the cross. Okay? And it said, I asked Jesus how much he loved me, and he said this much.
Wow.
It's pretty good.
Wow.
And I ate my pancakes and I left. I never returned.
If you come into my kitchen, you'll see something on the wall that says, nothing is impossible. The world itself says, I'm possible. Yuck. Don't let your mind stop you from having a good time. Okay. Don't let your preachy sentiment bowl me over, ass. God. My God.
We can make our own.
Yeah, I would, yeah, would you
well,
like to
don't
see...
don't get happy.
Well, yeah,
no,
but...
No, what about don't let go of the hug or don't lose the hug?
Don't lose the hug would be good.
How about this? I've got a bunch. I could write them off the top of my head. Write these down.
All right.
We'll put them on a poster, okay? If they're smiling at you, they really hate you. Isn't that a good one?
Yeah. You know? How about a fancy script so it's, you know, just really ornate that just says, get bent.
No, I got a better one. Here we go. All right. If he's being nice to you, it means he probably wants to see your wife's tits.
That sounds fresh.
Yes. There you go. Yeah, right.
How about that happen? When did that happen?
How about this? Happiness is an illusion that God uses to keep us working. Thank you very much.
Excellent, Mike. You know what?
I'm gonna come up with it. What can we call them?
This is
product. This can be out for
Mike
Christmas.
Mike O'Mara's Sentiment Decor.
Sentiment Decor. Mike O'Mara's Sentiment Decor.
Yes,
right,
it works.
It's and we'll use one of yours, okay? That's just Rob Spiewak. That's how they get you.
He's a desperado that takes care of business.
I'm the wrangler, is what I am.
Riding and roping and always getting it done.
Did you see me wrangle before the show today?
You did.
You did a great job.
Yeah.
Sometimes trouble just follows a man.
Folks don't know much about him except for his name.
The Bolivian Wrangler.
The Bolivian Wrangler.
Put that on my tombstone.
He may not know basic American history.
When was the Bay of Pigs? The Roaring 50s. The Depression was in the 20s.
You're insane.
But when he wants to wrangle up some goods for the office or his hacienda...
Aye, that's Spanish for house.
He shops at Target and Walmart through the shopping center at MikeOMaraShow.com. And with a few clicks, he can pick it up at the store or have it shipped to his door.
You'll thank me for this.
Shop like the Bolivian Wrangler because he knows that getting the big deals is mighty satisfying.
I'm feeling great.
Who was that masked man?
Who was that masked man? Hey, are you feeling burnt out from your day-to-day routine? Are you? Look no further than Dadgrass, the perfect afternoon reset. With Dadgrass, you can enjoy a legal, organic, smokable hemp that relaxes your body. And did you want to say, just out of curiosity, or were you high when you wrote it, a legal? Or did you want to say legal? Because it says, with Dadgrass, you can enjoy... legal organic smokable hemp, or did you want to say a legal organic smokable? How would you want it?
I would want it just legal.
I'll say the way you want it.
Yeah, right. I would say just legal. My apologies
right.
for that.
Let me refine it. We'll do it in post. You can enjoy legal organic smokable hemp that relaxes your body and mellows your mind. Their 100% organic pre-rolled joints are very low in THC and high in CBD, so you can enjoy the effects while keeping a clear head. If you prefer the toke without the smoke, Dadgrass also has a CBD tincture made with the same high-quality hemp. For those who want a delicious treat, try Dadgrass gummies. Those are the ones I eat constantly. They're the best on the market, providing all the mellow goodness without any smoke required. All Dadgrass products leave you in a euphoric mood, so you'll be able to relax and unwind in no time and read your sentiment art. Do yourself a favor and snag 5 minutes for a Dadgrass toke break. You deserve it. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. right now. Dadgrass is offering our listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/TMOS. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS, 20% off your first order. Remember, man, that's dadgrass.com/TMOS.
Hello.
Yesterday, we observed the birthday of Jack Nicholson. Today is the 83rd birthday of anybody?
83rd birthday of... wait, I've got this. I know this. The 83rd birthday of Jeff Goldberg.
No, Jeff Goldberg?
Goldie Goldberg.
Oh, no, Goldie, no.
No, he's my age. What am I saying?
I thought you were going for Goldblum.
Surf.
No. Oh, Mike, that day has passed.
Okay.
Al Pacino is 83 today.
I can't believe. You're out of order. The whole trial's over. I'm going to take a flamethrower to this birthday cake.
It's funny that you should bring that up because I have a montage here of some of his memorable movie quotes. You can actually trace him losing his mind.
Okay.
As the clips go, okay?
Al Pacino.
Don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again.
Michael Corleone. I know it was you, Fredo.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Haneke! Haneke!
My name is Arthur Kirkland, and I am the defense counsel.
You are out of order!
You're out of order! You're out of order! The whole trial is out of order!
Me, I want what's coming to me.
Oh, well, what's coming to you, Tony?
The world, Chico.
Tony Montana.
And everything in it.
Say hello to my little friend!
Don't think I can't see women, because I can't see women. Women are the essence of life.
Hoo-ah!
So when he did Scent of a Woman, was that his gateway drug to being nuts?
You know what, though? What a body of work.
Oh, my
really.
God, of course.
What joy he's given audiences over the years. Way to go, Al. Happy birthday.
I revisit this tape to set up a follow-up to something we discussed in the past. And, Mike, it actually calls on a career you used to have.
The wheels on the bus go.
Do you remember...
Oh, no.
In Colorado. Now, I know, Mike, you used to drive a school bus, and proud you were.
Yeah, I loved it. I'm proud I did it. I always talk about doing that.
There was a substitute bus driver in Colorado that was not happy with the way the students were behaving and not responding to his ask for them to sit down, his request.
Regular complaint from bus drivers. I get it.
So he slammed on the brake and short-stopped it.
Okay.
Is that something you ever did?
No, I didn't.
Okay, good. Because there was 30 students on this bus, and this substitute bus driver just got 30 counts of child abuse levied against him.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And so here's the follow-up to that.
You guys need to be in your seat.
This is the actual tape.
You guys want to see how dangerous that is?
Oh, my God.
That's why you need to be in your seat.
You all right?
Yes. They have to sit in their seat.
They would
not get bounced around if they didn't stay in their seat.
We were.
So I'm sorry if she got hurt, and I'm the substitute driver, and the driver that normally does not have any control on these kids. I was coming to a stop, and I hit the brakes hard. They were not listening.
The person who was most upset was the child who was slightly bloodied.
Wow.
Yeah.
No.
I never did that in my life.
Thank you.
What are you trying to prove?
The school.
Well, I mean, no, the thing is, all right, here's the truth of it.
All right.
You can get their attention But you can't lock up the brakes. You lock up the brakes, you're going to kill somebody.
Yeah.
Because that's how much force it is. But if you do a little tap, I might know a guy. One of our bus drivers did that.
At the
point,
did you see?
Where you just see the little heads go. Da-da-da.
Did you see him at the meeting?
yeah, the bus driver meeting.
I remember that
we used to race them in Glastonbury, Connecticut,
and that's safe. God.
On the way when they were empty on the way back to the lot, because it's Miller time.
Miller time. Okay. Sad news yesterday for a guy who's made a couple nice appearances on this show. I really love Richard Lewis. He's 75 now, and he announced on social media yesterday he's been diagnosed with Parkinson's, but he actually stays upbeat about it.
Richard Lewis, how you doing? Hey, listen, I just wrapped a couple of weeks ago season 12 of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and it was just an amazing season, and I'm so grateful to be part of that show. But, in the last 3.5 years, I've had sort of a rocky time. 2 years ago, I started walking a little stiffly. I was shuffling my feet. And I went to a neurologist, and they gave me a brain scan, and I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. But luckily, I got it late in life, and they say you progress very slowly, if at all, and I'm on the right meds, so I'm cool. I guess I just wanted you to know that that's where it's been at. I'm finished with stand-up. I'm just focusing on writing and acting, and everything is cool, and I love my wife. I love my little puppy dog, and I love all of my friends and my fans, and now you know where it's been at the last 3.5 years. God bless you.
He's such a genuinely funny guy, and Mike,
and
I know
nice
you can back me up, off mic as funny as he was on mic, and it really wasn't. I mean, he tweaked it up, but he was just a funny, funny guy.
It just seems like we're on a really bad streak with comedians getting sick, and I hate it.
I hate it too.
Every time.
In Australia, there's an 8-year-old boy, and there's sort of a TikTok trend right now. I don't think it's very healthy or good.
Oh, Dame Edna, by the way. I don't think we gave her enough credit yesterday. Dame Edna.
Barry Humphreys, yes.
Tomorrow I'll say a few words about Barry Humphreys and that character. Very popular over in England. The greatest clip of all that I hadn't seen, and I watch a lot of Dame Edna clips, was the Jubilee celebration for Prince Charles when he was in the royal box and Dame Edna walks into the royal box. And
I watched
so hysterically
did it,
funny.
Did it appear to you that it actually surprised the prince at the time,
it
now
may
the king?
Have.
I do
it was,
think it
well,
did.
It was done so perfectly.
It was.
And then you see the security guard tap Dame Edna on the shoulder and the audience is roaring when this is going on. And she goes, oh, sorry, they've got me a better seat. Fantastic. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
There's a TikTok trend that I don't necessarily agree with where you allow your kid to say one bad word without penalty to see what bad word they're going to say. And here's an 8-year-old in Australia. I'm not sure this is the word I was expecting.
We're going to give you one time only to say whatever swear word you want without getting in any trouble. Ready? Blake.
Pornhub.
What?
That's a swear word.
He said Pornhub.
Pornhub.
My God.
Where did you hear that?
He said, where did you hear that? He said, I heard it from you.
Pornhub.
I
love that. That's awesome. Fantastic. That's it. We got to get out of here. Oscar, you're traveling back to Washington, D.C. Have a very safe trip.
I'll be on the show tomorrow.
We get another show with him tomorrow.
Oh, we get a love from L.A.?
Yes.
Oh, good. Anyway, that's it. We'll see you tomorrow. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Toodles.
Ciao, ciao. Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
You are unstoppable.
We don't make mistakes. We have happy accidents.
You know, I don't want to bring this up, but you've been treating a lot of people with a lot of disrespect, even your own wife.
Let me ask you something. Was Mary a little big bone back in high school?
Big bone? No, not at all. No.
I guess she packed on a few pounds over the years.
Oh yeah, so she's a little chubby.
Oh, I'd say about a deuce and a half. Not bad.
Goodbye.